I want you to ask your neighbor this question as we begin this morning's message. Look at somebody and ask them, are you prepared to pay the price to walk in your full inheritance? If you are, you're in the right place today, because God's going to send you a word that if you receive it, I promise you, it's going to liberate you forever. Give God praise. It's going to liberate you forever. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. The supernatural law of identification. We have already learned that that word identification means to put ourselves in the place of another, to take their place in a situation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to go back to our foundation scripture, Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 19 and verse 20. In the Amplified, if you don't have an Amplified translation, we're going to display it on our screen so that we are looking at the same word, the same translation, because I want us to read it together. Amen. When you have it, say amen. Galatians chapter 2, amen. Verses 19 and 20. I feel the Holy Ghost. I can't hardly be still. I've got movement going on the inside. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord. Let us read verse 19. For I, you're not ready? Let's read. For I, through the law, under the operation of the curse of the law, have in Christ's death for me, myself died to the law and all the law's demands upon me. Oh, good God Almighty. So that I may henceforth live to and for God. I have been crucified with Christ. In him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ the Messiah lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in and by adherence to and reliance on and complete trust in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. What a power-packed, glory to God, revelation that we will receive today from Holy Spirit, from the 19th to the 20th verse. Looking again at verse 19 and what the Holy Spirit wants me to say. And then I'm going to read something to you. I talked to the leaders on yesterday concerning the gift that I received from our son in McKinney, Texas, Apostle Dr. Francis Miles, who wrote this phenomenal book, Breaking Generational Curses, under the order of Melchizedek. The Lord says, as we look at verse 19, and a prelude to what I'm going to read. It talks about the operation of the curse of the law. If we study Deuteronomy, we will find that there are so many curses. If you read them, you could easily get discouraged, but you would also find things in that curse that pertain to your personal life, even though you have a relationship with Jesus. The operation of the curse of the law and all that the curse demands. Somebody say demands. Because it's a law, it's connected to the mountain of law. That means there are legalities. There are things that are stated that cannot be broken except you meet the requirements of that law. If it says that you have to pay a certain thing, then you can't get from underneath that particular curse, that law, until you pay that particular thing. If you have to do something specific, then you cannot get from under that law except you pay something specific. There's specifics connected to a law. Are you with me? So there are demands that are connected to the curse of the law. And so the scripture says, hallelujah, all that the curse demands of us, those under that curse. The apostle Paul says, I through the law, I under the operation of the curse of the law, have in Christ Jesus' death for me, myself died to the law and all the law's demands upon me, so that I may henceforth live to and for God. And then he goes on to say that this is the way that I paid in full for the demands of the curse. That when I was crucified with Christ, I died. Y'all ain't saying nothing. When I was crucified with Christ, I shared his crucifixion. That means everything he died for and everything he died to, I died for it and to it. It's no longer I who live. I don't live in my old nature. But Christ, the sperma, the seed of Christ Jesus, the anointed Messiah, actually lives in me. His divine nature lives in me. And I have a new life that I live. I don't live like I used to live. I don't think like I used to think. I don't act like I used to act. I got a life. I live now. I live now in this body. In this mortal body, I'm living by faith, my complete adherence, my complete reliance, my complete trust is in the Son of God, because he loved me and he gave himself up for me. So if I'm no longer to operate under the demands of the curse of the law, then I have to engage in this crucified lifestyle. What is the curse of the law? We have many different names that we give it. Generational curses, inherited curses, curses of our bloodline, curses in our gene pool, curses that we've inherited. Curses that we're operating under that we don't even have a clue when they started. Who did what? And why am I affected by them? How come I'm seeing stuff showing up in my children? They wasn't even there when I did it. When grandma and grandpa did it. They're acting just like me. They're doing things that I hated. when I saw my parents do it. Now I find myself doing it. Why am I acting like this? I don't want to do it. I love Jesus. But every time I want to do good, seems like evil is always around. Ooh, Lord. Apostle describes the science and anatomy of a curse that is generational. And he says the science of anatomy deals with understanding the internal matrix of any living organism. What's going on internally in an organism, in you and in me? The science examines the different parts or organs of any living organism and how these individual parts interrelate within the structure of the living organism. Consequently, the science of spiritual anatomy, which is a higher and more credible science than the science of natural anatomy, also involves the surgical and spiritual analysis of the internal matrix of any spiritual organism or technology. In our endeavor to understand generational curses and how we can break them permanently, it would be prudent of us to understand the spiritual anatomy of a generational curse. Exodus 20, verses 1 through 5, if you will put that on the board. Exodus 20, verses 1 through 5. Exodus 20, verses 1 through 5. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before or besides me. You shall not make yourself any graven image to worship it, or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Another translation. Then God gave the people all the instructions. He said, I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. He said, you must not have any other God but me. He says, you must not bow down to them to worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected. Even children in the third and fourth generation of those who reject me. The word of the Lord. In my opinion, the author says, there are very few scriptural passages that capture the complete anatomy of a generational curse, like Exodus 20 verses 1 through 5, though there are also many other scriptures that refer to it. The first and most important element in the anatomy of a generational curse is God. Write that down. Number one, the first important element in the anatomy of a generational curse is God. This might surprise a lot of believers, the author says, that I would include God in the anatomy of a generational curse. The content in which I include God in the anatomy of a generational curse is to simply establish the fact that the Bible teaches that sin is primarily against God before it is against anything else. Listen to an example. After King David committed adultery with Uriah's wife, he cried in deep repentance to God. And this is what he says in the 51st Psalm. He said, "Against you, God, and only you have I sinned." This was very surprising coming from David, considering that he sinned with another man's wife. I would have thought that the first verse in the 51st Psalm would have read as follows: "Against you and Uriah have I sinned." But apparently King David understood that sin in its very essence is always against God, because we all live in God's world. This is surprising, because often we think that it's okay, we can sin against each other and it's okay. But in the anatomy of a generational curse, what gets a generational curse started is that we sin against God. That's number one. This is why before I pray for people, Apostle Miles says, to be delivered from generational curses and genetic anomalies or deficiencies, he said, I first lead them in a prayer of repentance to God. So if you're trying to get from under a generational curse and you think you can just go to God and act like, you know, I sinned against Uriah, I sinned against Mary, I sinned against John, I sinned against Peter. We sinned against God. This is because the author says, I realize that the sin that opened the door to the entrance of the generational curse is first and foremost an action against God's holiness. By leading them through a prayer of repentance before asking God to deliver them guarantees God's favor and power over their situation. So number one, the very first thing in the anatomy of a generational curse is God. Romans 7 and 1 says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth." Romans 7 and 1. That brings me to my second element.